Well, hello there. This is Jim the Keys Bartender, the Keys Bartender Podcast. It's sometimes about bartending, sometimes about life. We don't always know. I know I change it up a lot. So this is 2 days I had off in a row. It was glorious. I actually got a call for another job tonight, and my first instinct was to take it. I was 50-50 on it. And then I realized there's so many things I have to do. Some of the things have nothing to do with doing anything. It's just about doing nothing. Doing nothing. Sometimes doing nothing is better than doing something because I was getting burnt, just burnt out. I don't know. You can get burnt out. I guess it all depends on your energy level. I know I've been doing this a lot, but you can get burnt out if you have a high energy level, low energy level. It probably takes a little less time. It just seems that you ever work with a group of people like that where they get burnt out? There's a bunch of burnouts. And I don't mean burnouts like people that smoke too much weed. I'm talking about people that worked too long and hard. Well, I've done that, and it is not, there's a blend of camaraderie, there's some nitpicking that goes on, some cattiness, and then there's fond memories. When I say fond memories, when you're looking at it from the past, and you know, there's a lot to be said for working and earning money, but that just it takes, you know, to be on the whole time, it just takes a lot out of you. And you just got to be mindful of that when you're working. You don't want to ruin your reputation at work by overdoing it. You know, there's a certain amount of hours you can work where you're effective. And when you start overdoing it, you just start, I guess, regressing. Your skills regress. You don't get things done effectively. You miss things. I had that happen several weeks ago. Just being weary and tired and not sleeping. And part of it is my sleep schedule. We're coming up on the summer. And you know, we have a puppy. We have to be get up like every 4 hours in the middle of the night. My wife, I don't think she considered it when she was getting the puppy. She just wanted a puppy. She wanted a puppy. I think part of it was because our daughter is going into her last year of school, and you know, people need something to nurture. They need to, some people need something to nurture and to express their affection for. So we got the puppy, and that cuts into our schedule. I already have an interrupted schedule, being an older man, getting up in the middle of the day to pee in the middle of the night. Obviously, I do that in the middle of the day. So I'm working on new strategies. And fortunately for me, it just worked out. It just works out that way. With this week, I worked three shifts at one of the facilities that the company I work for has, the brewery, and then 2 days earlier at the new place. And I don't know if I don't like spending too much time in one place. I am a rambler. I'm a rambling man at heart. And some people are more at home being in a place where they have a routine. And I just like changing things up so much. I guess that's where when you have world, you know, people that like to travel, people like to, and there's people that are homebodies. I'm a homebody, but I like to do different things while I'm at home. So I have to, I guess I have to really, you know, model my work life, my home life, like my work life and my relationships. Try to keep things different. And you know, I've, as on the last show or the last couple shows, I was concerned about being it just being an inevitable decline. I was doing my spin class earlier today, and I was talking about we were doing a group of exercises where I'm building up resistance, making it simulating a climbing of a hill. And I said, yeah, we're going to be climbing, climbing, climbing. But trust me, like life, it'll be all downhill after that. And then I go and say, I mean downhill physically. And then I said, no, not physically of your body, physically for indoor cycling. So when you go downhill, you have less resistance and you have more gravity's aiding you. That's what I meant. And people, I think, they take to heart some of the things I say a lot, and sometimes they take to heart the things I say when I say, listen, you know, it's all downhill for you. And I meant downhill, meaning not very much resistance. And the same goes for work. It's all downhill when you get all the work done, right? When you're all set up and you're rolling around, rolling around. You're just rolling, doing your job, interacting in the business, interacting with customers, making drinks, delivering drinks, filling orders, wrapping, chatting people up. I like to call it patter, doing the patter back and forth when you're talking to people. Sometimes it's heart to heart, sometimes it's just patter. Patter is just talk, friendly talk. Beautiful day, isn't it? You have a nice day. Isn't it lovely out there? I may have just repeated myself. Yeah, the wind's been blowing. It's hard to go fishing. The water's kind of rough. These are all things you do, kind of like fillers. But then there's other things. Where are you from? Oh, you're from Iowa. I go, well, a lot of people, I ran into a lot of people from Iowa. Where are you from in Iowa? Big city. And some people hit a state and you just leave it like that. Especially foreign countries. When someone comes in from a foreign country, I'm doing some pattern and go, oh, and they said, we're from the Netherlands. I said, which part of the Netherlands? And they'll go, Leiden. They say, oh, I'm familiar with Leiden. It's one of the big cities of the Netherlands. Right? Or, you know, I'm from Sweden. I'm from Norway. I'm not so familiar with that. Russia. I can. There's a couple of places in Russia I'm familiar with. But if you hit me with Poland, I'm from the North Poland, you're near Gdansk, Gdansk or Wrocław or all those places. Just people when you kind of share or commiserate a geographic coincidence, meaning I've been there before. It's a lovely city. Or I've heard about it. People just appreciate that stuff. So that's what I get out of work from doing the patter, doing the things, not being over stressed. And then when I'm overstressed, I'm not able to do the patter. I'm weary. My brain's not working. It wasn't working correctly yesterday. I wasn't staying on point. I was scattered, the ideas. I felt it. Here I am now, yawning. I have this thing where I don't eat as much as I used to, but it's not like I'm wasting away. I mean, I just dropped under 230, which is great because for a lot, you know, since I started this new job, I haven't been hitting the gym as much as I wanted to because of the increased hours and efforts and my energy level. So, I just have a feeling that my physical activity is tied to my cognitive alertness, my alertness, having to be effective mentally, being able to respond quickly. I mean, I get through these dips throughout the day, and there's things you have to do with that. And sometimes you can be reinvigorated by your patrons. Just let them. You know, it's almost, I mean, it sounds like I'm an energy vampire, but it's not. It's like it's feeding with them, not feeding off them. You're getting ideas, you're getting your brain is engaged, you're sharing thoughts with people, you're sharing, they ask you questions, they ask you how long you've been down here, what do you like most about it? What's your favorite place to go? What's your favorite place to go when you're in Key West? That's key specific, but wherever you are, works the same way. To find some common ground with someone, to find, yesterday I was talking about listening to them, but also being able to ask them questions to show them that you're paying attention to them. And remember when someone asks something, there's telling remarks people have. When they come in, since we are a brewery and a distillery, we offer tastings of the products, but especially the beer at the bar itself. At the distillery, they do more of the distilled products. And we do offer some tastings of the distilled product at the new place. But you listen to them and you tell people, say, well, I like fruity, fruity drinks, or I like IPAs. I'm not a big fan of fruitiness. And then you go and you listen to them, you hear it. And then you say, well, I won't give them the fruity ones. I'll start with, American lager, go up to the Mexican lager, check out some of the IPAs, the European Pilsner, and that style of beer. Because I listened to them and I heard that they don't like the fruit. And I said, would you like to try a fruit to see if maybe your taste have changed since you last tried one? Or do you have a particular flavor you like? Do you like perhaps a wheat beer? And then I get these ideas, so I don't have to give them everything. And not that I'm trying to restrict them from having it, because I don't want them to waste their time. I want to give them what they want. So that's being engaged, me being engaged in work and feeling a bit different every time I go in. Because that's the killer for me when I feel like drudgery, more like a factory assembly line where you're doing the same thing. You're putting a muffler together for a 1987 Corsica, Chevy Corsica. I had to pick a model that was existed at the time. So I think 1987, there was the Corsica was around. So, and you worked in assembly line. All you did was put together the muffler on the assembly line and attach it to the chassis of the 1987 Corsica. You could really get that will suck you down into ennui quicker than anything. Or working with someone that says the same thing each time, day in and day out, much like myself, I think. I got to be careful about that falling into the rut. Because this here is the thing that try to makes me think fresh. And I could have, like I said earlier, when I got notification that I could work tonight, I knew I had to go to a meeting, one of my meetings that I go to. To get a handle on my sobriety and to unburden myself of, things that might have built up inside me. That's what I do. I mean, other people have church, some people have counselors, psychiatrists, psychologists, and or therapists. I go to my meeting. I talk my wife, I talk to my daughter, I play with the dog. And that's my therapy. That's how I recharge. And it's really important. It's really important that when you have a day off that you take a day off and you do things that are pretty much for you. I mean, you may have chores to do, of course. But the thing you don't want to do, and I kind of did that a little, I was checking my schedule. Cool. On my day off, because it's kind of so flexible, I just got to make sure I'm not messing up. I'm not missing my shifts. So yeah, that's about as sharp as I am right now. So here I'm going to take a little break right now. I'm going to be back. Hopefully this is going to save. I also, before I leave, I've been having difficulty with my recording software. I've been recording, and then when I stop the recording disappears. It's supposed to show up in list the libraries, list of recordings inside the library of the podcasting software I use. So we'll see what happens. If I'm not back when I say I'll be back, obviously I will be back using some kind of software. Bye. Okay, I'm back. I don't know actually if I am back because it doesn't mean what's my source? It says, well, my microphone's here. Microphone array. Blue snowball. Yep, that's it. It is, I think they tried to, when they put more features into the software, they miss something sometimes. When people redesign programs, they miss key ingredients like where the hell is this file going? And I used to get really frustrated over that eventually in the beginning because I thought it was all me fucking up. And it still could be me, but I don't naturally assume that because I know this software is acting differently now and that I can be held blameless sometimes, blameless. And you can do your best, try to record something and it just doesn't turn out. And unfortunately, I come to grips with that because obviously I wouldn't be doing this going on. This is my 8th year of podcasting. I'm on my way to 1,000 episodes. If I can ever, if I can go back to doing 2 a week or 3 a week, I'll get there. What was it, 5,200, 150 or something? Sometimes in 2025. I imagine I'll be at my 1,000th episode. So I'm not making a big deal. I made a big deal by my 100th episode, maybe about my 200th, maybe 500. But I don't do a big deal about now, 800, 900. I don't know if I'll make it 1,000. Maybe I'll have a special guest if I get to 1,000. I should have a special guest before then, shouldn't I? There's probably you listening and says, Jim, we're just tired. You don't have anything new to talk about. You have the whole universe to talk about, and you focus on your tiny little experience that happens around you. I mean, that's all you pretty much have to do, right? Everything that you experience is something you can comment on. You have to be able to conceive it. If you can't conceive it, why would you even talk about it? And you can't conceive of things you haven't thought about. Right? You can't just do it. And I'm trying to be creative, come up something new each time. And I hope that just kind of stirs that inner spirit, that resource rich depths I have. That if I keep on reaching for it, something different, new, original, that it'll add to that reservoir of energy that I had at one time. But now I guess it's close to 2:30, 3 o'clock. I'm recording. And traditionally, even when I was in college, I would just start falling asleep right around then. Put me in a warm room. Put me in one of my favorite classes. I took this history class, and this guy had, it was this old kind of William Faulkner-esque professor. He had a mustache. He looked like the cross between Shelby Foote and Colonel Sanders. And I've referenced all these people. Shelby Foote was a famous historian, an expert on the Civil War, and William Faulkner, obviously, I mentioned him, or KFC, the Kentucky Fried Chicken guy, the Kentucky Colonel. which I always thought Kentucky was part of the Confederacy. And then it turns out Kentucky is pretty much was in the Union. I don't, I here was a history major. I should know that. Probably pissing off anybody that's a fan of Civil War and from Kentucky that I'm saying something that blasphemous. But you know what? That works for me. That gets my brain started, gets it going. And now it's kind of like a jump start for me. When I'm not exactly sure, I'm kind of like probing into my gray matter, my brain, to stir things up. So I'm just not like mindlessly parroting things back to you guys. So, yeah, we have an original podcast. We have a thing that makes, well, it's trying to make me feel revived. And you know what the funny thing about a couple days ago, I did the podcast and I mentioned vim and vigor because I was feeling neither of those things. I didn't feel very vigorous. I didn't have a lot of vim. Vim is kind of like that is an antiquated word. It's from the 50s, I think, or probably even before that. And I mentioned that with vim and vigor, and it was used in copy to advertise Geritol. And Geritol was always advertising on these game shows that took place in, I guess it was the 50s, in the golden age of television. And the host would stop at the end, you know, right at the advertising break, and they would do the red copy for their, you know, whoever's their sponsor. And on this show called 20, I think it was called 21, it was Geritol. And it's funny, Geritol is medicine for older people, or it was a vitamin, kind of like modern snake oil. But it's supposed to, you know, replace all the vitamins you need as you get older and supposed to be like a tonic. Not like a tonic, like a soda, but a tonic that secures you, makes you feel better. And I said, well, that's what I need. I need a tonic. I need something like that. But we know that didn't work because, you know, I know what I thought of older people, and they weren't very active when I was younger. They're more active now, you know, more maybe Red Bull or Ensure or a little coffee in Ensure. So I'm talking about it, and it's on the podcast. I didn't do any research on it. I never really put it. All I said was Geritol. And don't you know it, in one of my feeds on Facebook where they have the videos, it's an actor in the 70s. I think it's in the 70s. And he's talking about his wife, and his wife's right over his shoulder. And he goes, oh, she's so amazing. She did all this stuff around the house, blah, 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 cooked, cleaned, sends the kids off to school, went to a parent-teacher meeting, cooked dinner, took the dog out for a walk. How does she do it? With Geritol. And that shows up there. And I'm not really surprised by that. I did mention Geritol in my podcast. There's no reason why. I think it some of my podcasts on one of my feeds automatically gets turned into text. And you know that text is uploaded to the internet to one of the sites. I'm on, gosh, I'm guessing I'm on at least 15 different podcast sites. You got the big ones. You have iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, Google, TuneIn, and everything else, YouTube, and 15 and foreign ones. Good, the one called Good Pods, another called Al, another called Deezer, an Indian one from the subcontinent of India. I don't know if I'm on in China. I mean, I don't know why I wouldn't be, unless they worry about. I mean, you can't control all the media, can you, China? Is it possible? There's a million podcasts. You just don't let any podcast go, right? It would be impossible. You can't allow a free exchange of ideas if you're an autocratic country. I don't know how we get listeners in Hungary, because that's kind of autocratic country. Or Russia. It says Russia, I have it. I have listeners. That's 1% of my listeners. So if I have had a quarter million listeners, which I may have had in the 8 years, and that doesn't mean a quarter million. There's actually some of you that have listened to hundreds of podcasts, and some of you that only listen to 10 or fewer. I don't know if any of my ideas, I don't think any of my ideas would actually catch fire and cause somewhat of a revolution. I mean, there's no reason for it to. I'm just commenting on the things that I see. But I would like to feel that the nice thing about doing a podcast, and this is for any of you people, is just that even if no one listens, even if no one listens to you at all, is that you have put yourself out there. It is your diary. I mean, you have to be somewhat truthful about it. You can be, in the beginning, I was kind of like restricting what I said and what I thought because I wanted to be popular. I just wanted to do it. I just wanted to do it to be popular. I thought I was going to make money doing it. Here we go. Washington, D.C. I got a call from Washington, D.C. I'm going to check this out. Hold on a second. Hello? Well, that was a phone bang. Oh, it was an Indian guy from a room full of Indian people because I could hear it in the background. They were calling from the phone bank. And I don't know if you get it when you're a phone. If you get a call from a phone bank, what happens is they do an auto dialer, I guess, or whatever system, some software program, and it waits for someone to pick up. And then there's a pause, and then it routes you to a human operator. And where they have enough operators in is India. And for some reason, if you've listened to podcasts, I get a ton of healthcare calls, even though I have healthcare right now. And they all want to tell me about the amazing benefits that are available to me right now with my healthcare plan. And I do, but the people I get phone calls for my healthcare plans and the available benefits I have are people that are stateside. And I don't have a problem talking to anybody from India. I've done a lot of software support with people from India. It's not automatically just because an Indian person's on the phone that you're going to get scammed. And there's no guarantee if you hear a voice that sounds similar to yours that you won't get scammed. Several years back, I got a phone call after my laptop froze up, and it said, "Don't close this. Call this number. Your data is compromised." Now, the laptop I'm using right now, I don't have any data on there that I can't lose. Because what I do is whenever I record this podcast, I will put it together and release it as a podcast within most of the time within 30 minutes. And the nice thing about that, it exists. It exists on 20 different podcast platforms. So if someone says I want to take care of, take it all. Take it all, but I am not concerned because my information is disseminated and it's spread across the internet. Some people say, we stole your information and we're going to hold it hostage and we're not going to give it back to you. And I said, well, good for you because it's all out there anyway. I think that's probably the best way If you want to keep a secret, don't keep a secret. Right? If you want to protect a secret. That may not be phrased correctly. If you want to not have secrets, tell everything. And there's no way anybody can blackmail you. I mean, I'm sure there's things I've done that I haven't mentioned on the podcast, but I've also mentioned a lot of other embarrassing things. Not necessarily. I didn't pay a porn star to keep her mouth shut while I was running for president. I don't want to piss you guys off, though. Any listeners? I don't think I have too many of those supporters on the show, and if you know, I apologize for that, but that's just the way I am. And so if I don't have to, if you know, if I get in trouble, there's probably something. If you comb through all my episodes, there's probably something in there that could get me. What would you call that? What do they call it now? Erased, or you know what I'm talking about. Well, this is Jim the Keys Bartender. I'll be back on another day. Have a great day. And that's two in the books for today. Hopefully, I'll be able to. I'll see if it saves this recording. Bye.